Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Halleck.
And Mark Clifton.
It's the, we don't have nine marks.
It's the two marks.
Just two marks. Not nine marks.
Less impressive, but here we are.
That's right. We are cheaper.
Hey, bud, way cheaper.
Way cheaper. Yeah. Hey, we got a great podcast today. And I want you to run with this because this is right in your wheelhouse, bro.
I'm excited about
this. I love this. Our friend Chuck Lawless talks about 10 reasons. Ready? 10 reasons you should be uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
This seems like an odd. This seems really strange to say this. 10 reasons you should be uncomfortable as you attend church.
That's right.
I mean, now, wait a minute. Aren't I supposed to be comfortable attending
church?
Yeah, that's
right. That's what we've been told. And the problem is, there's a lot of problems with it. But I think the heart of what he's getting at, and guys, this is why this is so important, not just for those in our congregation. So don't listen to this podcast and just be thinking about why everybody else needs to hear this. This is why we need to hear this.
Pastors.
As pastors and leaders.
Absolutely.
Because if we don't, if we lose this stuff.
We lose it all.
We lose it all. So here's number one, okay?
Reasons you should be uncomfortable when you attend church this weekend.
That's right. Number one, you will be worshiping the one and only true living God. Let that sink in.
You know, I was preaching the other day in Timothy and 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy rather, and Paul talks about we worship the one true living God. And it's important to use that word living God because he was talking to people who lived in a community where everybody had their gods, these little tiny gods. But there's only one living God, right? Well, same thing here. We live in a community where we all have gods. We worship all kinds of things, but there's only one true living God. And that's the one we worship, and he is all powerful, and he spoke this universe into being. He holds every star in place by his mighty power. Every molecule of every gas giant responds to him. That's who you're worshiping.
That's who you're worshiping.
That's who you're proclaiming.
That's right.
And if that doesn't give you a sense of awe and weightiness, there's a problem.
There's a problem. And don't ever expect your people to grow in a sense of awe and wonder in the majesty of God if we aren't in awe.
I'm old and I'm very stuck in my ways and I'm getting worse the older I get. But we have worked so hard to make church so casual and so informal.
Oh boy, preach.
And
it.
So that we walk in and it's like, hey, y'all. No, you know, we are really coming before to worship the God of the universe,
yes,
the God
amen.
Who spoke everything into being.
Amen.
There should be a weightiness to this
That's
as
right.
well. And someone once asked R.C. Sproul, what's missing in our worship services? And he said, God, the weightiness of God. We have music, we have announcements, we have entertainment, we have some really good preaching even and communication. But where's the sense that I'm in the very presence of God?
Okay, this leads to number two, and it flows right out of that. The word of God penetrates to the depth of our being. So listen, assuming the word is preached at your church, you should not be fully at ease when you hear it. None of us measures up to perfection in the light of the word. Listen, the word of God is like dynamite, man.
I know. And so much of the preaching that has been so passionate in my lifetime, now it's becoming less now. Let's be honest. I'm so grateful that the majority of young men that I deal with now are preaching expositional sermons.
They're preaching the word.
They're preaching the word. But there was a time when it was not preaching the word. I don't know. It was preaching something else, and it made you feel good. It was affirming.
Kind of a therapeutic.
And also, I'm sort of the hero of the story.
Yeah.
You know, stories about me and how I can be better and how I can do these things. And again, I love the fact that the word of God penetrates to the depths of our being, Hebrews 4:12. And man, if the word of God is preached, there's going to be some times it's going to just cut to the bone.
That's right.
It's going to cut to your very marrow. And listen, if you can preach it, you can preach that kind of stuff, and you don't feel it cut to your bone and your marrow.
Oh man,
that's a real warning, guys. I need to know that when I'm preaching those kinds of things, if I don't feel overwhelmed by the conviction that I'm not living up to this, and there's a problem there.
Listen, we did two podcasts recently on preaching, but here's one thing we didn't talk about that I feel really strongly about, and I learned this from a mentor years ago. On Sunday morning, before when you get up early, you need to read through or preach through that sermon one time to your own heart.
To your heart.
You need to preach it to your heart.
Your heart.
You need to feel the weight of what you're preaching. You need to ask the Spirit of God to see your own sin, your own need for Jesus, before you get into that pulpit and preach all that stuff to everybody else. Mm. It will affect the way you preach. It'll affect the way you see the sheep that you're preaching to. So that's number two. The Word of God penetrates to the heart of our being. Number three, all of us have sin to deal with, man.
Yeah, you've got to deal with the sin in your life and as a pastor and the folks who come to church. I mean, when we come before God, that's why it's so important. Oh, man, it's so important to have regular scripture reading on Sunday morning that deals with confession and a prayer of confession, a prayer for our hearts to hear the gospel.
Let me ask you something. Some Baptists get nervous when they say, wait, a prayer of confession. That sounds like we're getting Lutheran or Presbyterian or something.
Yeah.
But why is that so important?
Because we come before, we can't worship him until we... And look, confession and repentance is not something to be afraid of or run from. Repentance is a fountain to run to.
That's right.
It's the place where it's a place where we receive the forgiveness and then the joy that follows that. And there needs to be a time of corporate repentance on Sunday morning and preparing our hearts to hear the gospel. And, you know, oftentimes when I preach, before I preach, I'll pray, Lord, you know, remove the scales from our eyes, because he's there.
Yes.
We don't have to ask him to come.
Exactly.
Remove the scales from our eyes, unclog our ears, and I always say, melt these hearts of stone. Sometimes my heart is as cold as alabaster, man. It is so hard and it's got to be melted. And how do I melt it? By confession of my sin.
Yes, yes.
Acknowledging my brokenness and my sinfulness and my... Let me tell you how sinful. Let me tell you how sinful I can be. And I can be sinful. But, you know, in recent times... God, for his pleasure, has put me in some larger platforms of preaching. And I've never done that in my life. Most of my platforms have been under 100 people. But in recent times, I've been in front of thousands. And it's a nervousing kind of thing, but God's given me a calmness about it. And so I'll be preaching to this large crowd. And under the power of the influence of the Holy Spirit, I will really feel the presence of the Holy Spirit there. And sometimes, Mark, I will say things that I hadn't planned to say, and I'll sense the Holy Spirit was very much a part of that, and I'll sense there was a real moment there. And almost immediately, I think to myself, I'm pretty good at this. So I can come. How sinful am I? How broken are we as pastors? We can come to the most holy moment we have this side of heaven, which is standing before people, large number of people proclaiming the gospel and having the Holy Spirit speak directly to me. And then within a moment, I rob God of his glory by this thought crossing my mind.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at this. I mean, I'm not bragging about that.
No.
I'm telling you.
And you're not alone in that, brother.
And that it can come too when after it's over and people come up to you, Mark, or to you, Kyle, who's over there and say, that was a great sermon. And we go, part of us goes, yeah, it probably was. You know, it's like, no, you can't do that. There's nothing good in me but Jesus.
Right.
There's
Amen.
Nothing good in that Amen. Sermon but Jesus.
That's exactly
and
right.
yet, again, all of us have sin to deal with. And sometimes it's not, you know, the night before I went out and got drunk and spent all my kids' college money on gambling. It's as I was preaching the gospel, I began to think I'm pretty good at this.
Yes, that's so
Dude,
true.
that's a sin too.
That's right.
And it's a terrible sin.
And when we come to church, we are reminded together corporately that we are all sinners and we need to confess our great need for Jesus. And
I would say if you go to a church and that's never mentioned, the confession of sins never mentioned, something's desperately wrong.
Okay, here's number four. This is really good. We should be uncomfortable because lost people, I would say broken people.
Oh, hurt people.
Hurt people will be there.
That's right.
Okay, so this isn't a country club that Mm-mm. you're going to.
Or, no.
And if it is, man, something's really wrong. Or
yeah.
if you're a pastor and you've led a church that's just full of beautiful people
yeah.
who are kind of faking it. You've got a real problem.
Yeah. There are going to be some people there who have some real issues in their life, going through cancer, going through addiction. There are going to be some people there who question everything. There are going to be people there who are deconstructing their faith. There are going to be some people there who've been going to church for years, but they're not truly regenerate. And so all of that should give us a weightiness to say, this is not just, you say, it's not just our group getting together again once a week. There's some deep spiritual warfare going on even in these pews on Sunday morning.
That is exactly right.
And I'm in the midst of this spiritual warfare.
Am I aware of that?
Am I aware of it?
Yep.
Am I praying for it? Am I sensitive to it?
Dude, totally. And this just goes into number five. We have there's a supernatural enemy that will want you to ignore the word of God, that will want to lead you astray.
Or deny the word of God as he did in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
And so what will happen is, and this, guys, this happens to me all the time. If I'm not preaching and I'm going to worship and I'm going to church, and even though everything may be going really well and the Lord is present, obviously, and the pastor is doing a great job preaching, there will be times when my flesh will come up and I will think, you know, I would do it differently. Mm. I would preach that text differently. I would probably not have the order of worship like this. I'm not sure we needed that. And I'm thinking, where is this carnality coming from? Why is my heart so carnal that I can't just be in the moment of what God's choosing to do among these people? So a supernatural enemy will want you to ignore what God's doing right in front of you.
That is so true.
And I'm telling you, it happens to me, and I have to battle it.
A critical heart. A critical heart. You've got to be ready to fight that thing.
And I think sometimes those of us who are pastors, we can have the most critical heart.
I know.
For every reason. All right. So true. Number six.
Okay, number six, you might have to deal with that person who gets under your skin. We know this.
You will have to deal with that person.
You will.
That lady, that man in your church that always gives you the stink eye, that's always got a problem, that's never happy. It, you know, gives backhanded compliments to your kids. Oh, your kids look clean this Sunday. Your kids behave pretty well this week, Pastor. Like, what? Oh, your wife got here early this week.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, those kinds of things. Seriously, I hear that not about my family because they're all grown old now, but when they were kids sometimes, but I hear pastors tell me that they're church members who say things to them like that. Oh, yeah, your wife got here on time this week. That's great. Or your kids were pretty good this Sunday. Or,
it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Or, Pastor, you know, you didn't preach as long this week as you did last week.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of thing. Yep. And so you got these people, and you've talked about this, Mark. It's your line. You're going down the hall on Sunday morning to get to sanctuary. You see one of them come up, and you jump in the janitor's closet. You know?
Everything in you. That's what you wanted to
do. You just run in the janitor's closet.
Were we looking for a light bulb or something?
I don't want to talk to this person. You know, that they're going to be people there on Sunday morning that get under your skin.
Yep, yep.
The church is a family, and every family has people that are hard to take. The tension that you feel, though, means you need to deal with those feelings. On Sunday morning, deal with those feelings as the Lord would challenge. Lean into the awkward.
That's right.
Love on them. Know that they are, you know, they are not yet what they're going to be. If they're truly regenerate, one day they're going to be perfect before the throne.
Yep.
They just ain't that way today.
Nope. And you really do. You've got to approach it with a humble heart. This is why Jesus, if Jesus is your treasure, and what you want more than anything is to be a godly man or woman, then you have to approach tough people as a sanctifying catalyst in your life.
Yes, you do.
And you have to approach it that way. And
that's
just
right.
Name it. Say, boy, I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to see him. But Lord, what I know is you're making me like Jesus.
Yeah.
And so God, help me to love this difficult person. Here's number seven. The command of the Great Commission is still in effect.
Right. None of us can avoid Jesus' mandate that we make disciples of our neighbors and our nations, because there's always somebody else to be reached. Our conviction and burden should grow as the Word of God is taught to us. We should be aware of the unfinished task. That's what we're trying to say.
Yes.
Why should you be uncomfortable in church? Because you're going to go, you're going to hear the Word of God, and you're going to think, I am simply not sharing it enough. I'm simply not compassionate enough for the lost. I've become indifferent to the lost in my world and in my neighborhood and in my own family. And sure, it should make you feel somewhat uncomfortable because the Great Commission is still in effect and the work is yet unfinished.
That's right. That's right.
Number eight.
Number eight, if you're a leader, you'll answer for the way, oh man, this is weighty. If you're a leader, you'll answer for the way you care for the souls of the church.
Hebrews 13:17. Right. I've said it so many times. Everybody says they want a bigger church, but when you get to heaven and you give account for every soul, you're going to think your church was plenty big enough.
That's right.
That responsibility alone, when you go on, and I don't care, guys, if you've got eight people on Sunday morning, that's eight souls you're going to give an account for.
Amen.
That responsibility should create enough discomfort to lead you to pray when you awaken that morning and pray again when you lay down at night, because
you are
being held accountable for those souls. So when you gather on Sunday morning, look, let's be honest, it can be easy to mail it in.
Yeah.
If you've been doing this for 20 years and you've had a busy week and maybe you know, your marriage isn't the best that week and you've had a couple of spats with your wife and your kids are being really a mess and your finances are all messed up for that week and you're worried about all kinds of things, it's easy sometimes when you show up on Sunday morning to just sort of numbly go through the motions. But man, you should come on Sunday morning realizing the weighty responsibility of caring for each of these souls.
And I would practically, I would say this, guys, this is why you have to. I don't know. I mean, I would just say you have to. You have to spend time Sunday morning in prayer before you get things start getting crazy. You know, we see
you do
because I mean, and I know I have to do this every week.
You do.
I've got to humble myself. I need to say, Lord, help me feel the weight. If I'm sad or I'm frustrated or I'm anxious, I need to deal with some stuff in my own heart before I just get rolling again. I think sometimes we wake up, we eat breakfast, we're not even abiding in Jesus. We're not thinking about him. Guys, we cannot do this work. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Recently, as I'm doing this, actually, we're doing this on a Tuesday. It was a Sunday evening, and I was preaching to a large group, and I, as the music was being sung, I was on the front row, and I decided to sit down and not sing, which I normally, you know, want to participate in the worship. But I really felt like I wasn't spiritually, emotionally prepared to preach that night. And so this was just two nights ago. And so I sat down and I just bowed my head and I just poured my heart out to the Lord in a moment, a way that I really hadn't done in a long time before I preached. And I don't know how long I was praying, but I just pleaded, Lord, I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me strength-wise. I don't have me in me understanding what I'm going to say necessarily. I don't understand this context really right now. And if you don't do this, it's just not going to be done. And I mean, I poured myself, my heart out into that. And in that moment, I really felt a deep connection to the Holy Spirit. And as I walked up there and began to preach, the Lord really took over that. And he was glorified in what I did. And when I was done, Mark, I've never been more tired in my whole life.
Wow.
They had a dinner afterward and they said, you know, we're going to, you want to go eat dinner with them? I said, I'm going to tell you, I can't right now. I'm just totally exhausted. But my point in saying all of that was, why don't I do that every week?
Oh man.
I mean, you know,
it's a good word.
Did it because I felt insecure. My goodness. I need to feel that way every week.
Yes.
I'm missing something.
Totally.
I'm missing
something.
I mean, think
about the power of that.
And that's, look, I'm not bragging. That's a confession I'm making. I'm not bragging on the sermon that I preached 2 weeks ago. I'm saying it was different because I spent that time. Normally I don't, and really broken and saying, I cannot do this. Do that every time before you preach, guys.
Amen.
The Lord really laid that on my heart, and I need that.
Because think about the opposite posture when we're kind of confident. And these guys want to hear me, and I'm pretty well. Good
when you're an itinerant preacher, and they kind of want your greatest hits.
Yeah,
I mean that sounds really bad. If you don't know who I am, you think that's terrible.
Yeah.
But there's a list of topics that people want me and you to preach on.
Yeah, they want to hear.
They want to hear these same things they heard somewhere else.
Yep.
That's what they want to hear,
right?
Because that's what they came for. It's a special conference to hear that stuff. Well, if you're not careful, you've done that so many times. You can do it.
You can just mail it in.
And when you don't mail it in, when you are truly broken before him, amazing things can happen. Yes. And so you can mail it in on a Sunday morning no matter what. And that's what we're trying to struggle to say here. So
no, that's really good, brother. Thank you for sharing that too. So we got two more here. Number nine is, if you're the preacher, and again, let me just remind us, we're talking about why going to church this Sunday, you should feel uncomfortable.
That's right.
Number nine is you're the preacher. If you're the preacher, your responsibility is great.
Okay, quote Richard Baxter for me.
Okay, Baxter. Oh, we love Baxter.
There you go.
Okay, he says this in the Reformed Pastor. He says, it is no small matter to stand up in front of a congregation and deliver a message of salvation or damnation as from the living God in the name of the Redeemer. No small matter assumes seriousness, perhaps even discomfort, than the preaching of the Word of God. So again, what he's saying is this: do you feel the weight? And honestly, you just gave us an incredible example of that.
Yeah.
is we are responsible. I mean, this is not some hobby. You have been called and affirmed, we pray, in the preaching of the word of God to the people of God. This is weighty. It's a joyful weight.
It is a joyful weight.
But it is a weight that we need to take seriously. And so if you're just approaching this, like, here's what concerns
me. As Baxter says, you're giving a message of either salvation
or damnation. That's it.
There's no in between.
That's the gospel, man. And if you're not preaching that, let me just say this. If you're just excited to go share some funny stories and some anecdotes on, listen, you need to question your call to preach.
I agree.
You know, because what the church needs today, what dying churches need today, what the lost need today, is they need the power, the dynamite of the word of God and the gospel that alone transforms us. So do we feel the weight? Here's number 10, the last point. He says, I say it again, none of us is perfect. He says that truth means all of us have some choice to make to follow God more fully. Seldom do we make that choice without the discomfort of confession and repentance. In other words, man, we need to always be growing.
Always.
Always be growing. We never arrive this side of heaven.
And I will say that I think in the last few years, I've probably grown more in that. I think I did a lot more. And look, J.I. Packer said, it pleases God to find the needle of truth in the haystack of error. And in my early ministry, I did a lot more in my flesh than I do now. And God found ways to bless it, but my life was not what it needed to be. And it still isn't. But thanks be to God, as I've grown older, I think I've grown more sensitive to the problems that I've had in my life. And I want to be closer to Him. Yeah. And I want to be... I need it more, and that's one of the neat things of growing old. But man, when you come to preach on Sunday morning, there should be an uncomfortableness about that. Yep. It should be because of the weightiness. Everything we just said. So go back and take a look at all of these wonderful reasons you and your church members should be uncomfortable. We don't think about why you should be uncomfortable in church. But you're coming before God. You're confessing your sin. You're realizing there's a task yet unfinished. You're realizing the weightiness of the gospel, the weightiness of this message. There should be there should be an urgency about Absolutely. That and an uncomfortableness. Absolutely. My favorite, I got new Spurgeon quote, right?
Okay, I'll bring it back.
I love this new Spurgeon quote.
You
did. I loved it. I love it.
This is unbelievable.
I love it. This is a great Spurgeon quote. Spurgeon says, as I preach the gospel, some say, well, he's just telling another common truth. In other words, we've heard the gospel before. How many times have I heard people say
this? We get
this.
We've heard this.
So this is what Spurgeon says. As I preach the gospel, some say, he's just telling a commonplace truth. Spurgeon says, but I feel as though I am wheeling up God's great cannon, which will blow to pieces the gates of hell. He says, the phrase, God was made flesh and dwelt among us, is God's great battering ram against which nothing can stand. Oh. He said that God was flesh and dwelt among us, are you ready for this, is the lever on which, when it was pulled, turned the world upside down. Woo. That's worth the podcast.
That'll
right
preach,
there.
Man. And the truth.
It is the truth. And that's the weightiness of what we preach.
Amen.
All right.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.